T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
I'm the captain of the boat.
Former White Sox manager.
I mean, I don't know how much payment I watch.
Can I go to watch the All-Star game? Hell no.
Talking the latest around Major League Baseball. Ozzie Guillen.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 to the score. David on vacation. The great Tom Thayer, kind enough to sit in. And we are delighted to welcome in Ozzie Guillen. He joins us on the St. Charles Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram Hotline, home of the real deal. Good morning, Ozzie. How are you?
How you guys doing? Very well. Good.
Yeah, we're just getting ready for the second half of the baseball season. Really enjoyed watching everything that went down with the All-Star Game and with all that stuff. And you know, we spent the morning talking about some of Chris Bryant's comments, which were basically that it's on the players, it's not on Joe Maddon, trying to take some of the pressure off of Joe. How much pressure is Joe under? From what you've seen and where we're at with his contract expiration, is this a crucial period for Joe in terms of his future in Chicago?
No, not really. I think, you know, I mean, Joe is Joe. Joe know baseball. Joe know he can do anything he wants in baseball because he earned that. I think I always have a lot of respect for him because he's come down and did a lot of things for this city. You know, it's weird because I think Ryan is right. I don't think, you know, Joe, you got to make move. The less move you make, better manager you are. That's no question about it. You just sit there, make a few moves during the game. That good, you better. When you start making move, that means the team's not perform the way they think they can perform or the way the manager think can perform. That's why managers start making move, and the more move you make, more mistake you make. But I think Joe is fine. I think Joe knows what he's doing. I think it's not up to him. It's up to the players. I think the players is what's there before. They got the talent to beat them. And I think he not make that comment to take a pressure off from Joe, because Joe's coming back or not, you know, only the front office know about it. I don't think Joe, regardless what he do here, is he leaving or staying. I think they got to put this on the side and start thinking about how to get to win games and to get what they want to get, because they build a team to go all the way to the World Series. They bring Krimble for a reason. And I think they have to go out there and perform the way people think and people know they can go out and perform.
Hey, Ozzie, before the All-Star break, the Cubs Sox playing a really hyped up series. What do the young players take away from a series with so much hype, and what can they learn from an experience like that?
Well, that's the closest they can be from any playoff deals. You know what I mean? I think. And that series, a lot of people, you know, a lot of players say, oh, this is another game for us. They're crazy. They don't. It's not. It's not that way. Managing, coaching, front office, fans, media, it's not the same way when Cubs play the White Sox. That's the closest figure they can get to the playoff. You know, everybody's there. He loves those games. The intensity is very high. I think right now, you know, I mean, it was more than last year. Last year was kind of like a cruising. You know, White Sox playing very bad baseball, and people don't really worry or care about it. This year was a little bit more intense. I think this year people was more into it. At least the White Sox fan was into it. And that's a great experience for them. You know what I mean? They can go to that experience with the full house, you know, pack house in the ballpark, everybody talk about it. That's got to be a good experience for the future.
Ozzie, I was amused watching the tape of you throwing out that first pitch, and you've got your granddaughter with you, and it's funny because the kid Collins was catching it, and he says, "Are you going to make it all the way?" And you said, "No."
That's funny because a lot of people, when I went off there after I threw the f- for free ceremony, Kenny Williams told me, he go, you throw on your hand? I said, I throw on the hand all my career.
You're turning a double play, yeah.
I said, I throw on the hand all my career. The funny thing about it, this is only for the pitching mound or for a shortstop. I tell you why, that's a great experience. That's the first time my wife went to the ballpark since, you know me, I wasn't part of the White Sox anymore. First time ever. That was a few years. And you know, to us as a family, it was a big, big, big deal because my goal is to throw a first pitch ceremony. I never thought it was going to be against the Cubs. And second of all, it was going to be my first granddaughter's first game.
Yeah.
And we really enjoy it. We really have fun. You know what I mean? It's just one memory we got always going to have. And my wife started always start put picture up in the house about that day. It was a very special day. We went early, made sure she enjoyed the field a little bit. And it was a great feeling. What a great feeling. I was very proud to wear back that uniform again and be in the middle, you know, in that series, Cubs White Sox. And not too many people can throw a first pitch ceremony that day. I had the opportunity, and it was very good.
Well, we're delighted for you. Ozzie Guillen, our conversation with him, driven by Prestige Exotics.
Ozzie, it seems a lot of conversation about this juice ball topic. So put yourself back in the clubhouse as a player. Is there a different conversation that pitchers have than position players have that are at the plate hitting the juice ball and catching it as opposed to listening to some of the complaints by the pitchers going on with this whole conversation?
Well, believe me, I think 1987, 88, we got the same problems or the same good thing or bad thing about the balls being used. They went to Haiti to see what's going on. I remember very well. They asked me about, you know, you think the ball is used. I said, well, used for somebody else, not for me. I only got one double. and that boy even make the two defense. But, you know, I mean, the way he's right now, wow. You know, I mean, I don't want to take any credit to the hitters because I can't. You know, those guys work harder. They lift weights. They're better athletes. But the way the ball's leaving the park, I don't know if that ball is juiced or we got bad pitching. Because that ball really, really, you know what I mean? I'm not going to, like I said earlier, I'm not going to take anything away from the hitter. But you see those upper home runs, they leave for anything. And people never hit a home run. They already got 10, 11 home runs. Yes, is something with the ball? Yes, what it is? I don't know. Because that ball jump like crazy, and that ball, I don't. Well, people say juice. I don't know. You know, they know. I never think they put juice on it. I think they may be tighter.
Right.
But I think no doubt the ball's carrying a lot more this year than it was in the past.
Well, you know what's pretty funny is Justin Verlander said in no uncertain terms that it's a blanking joke. That of course it's. It's been tampered with in some fashion, and he ridiculed Rob Manfred. And there's a story out now that the next day after saying that, he got called into the he got called to the woodshed, and apparently Joe Torre and Jim Leland and at least one other MLB official called him into an office and lit him up. He came out. He told Gerrit Cole, man, I just got chewed out. So they didn't like hearing it, whatever he said.
Well, you know what? It's funny then because if somebody else will say that, it will be suspended. That's how baseball is. I think they cover a lot of stuff. Not because they say, you know, everybody got to have an opinion. Not just because he mentioned people, names. And when you do that, you get in trouble in baseball. I bet you that was Lopez saying that, he will be suspended. I guarantee you, but it was Mr. Verlander. People respect that, and people a little bit of a worrier, a scared about what move they're going to make to it. And the best thing they can do is call him on the side and tell him, you know me, it was wrong or right. Because you just, when you name people, that's what you get, you know, you can get in trouble. But Verlander got all the right to say the ball is used, and wow, whatever they're calling, I don't think it's used, I think it's tighter. The ballpark is a little smaller. People like to see home runs. But I know Verlander was wrong. I think Verlander was right. The common image, and I think it was right to name the commissioner of baseball, call him up that way he did. Well, you know, I mean, that's the way it is. But I guarantee you, if that happened to another pitcher, say that, he's going to get in trouble and he's going to be suspended for what he say.
You know, Ozzy, analytics are all over baseball. They have the shift according to the tendencies of where batters hit the ball. And now last night, the Atlantic League used a robo-umpire. What are your thoughts on the technology that's involved in baseball and just the robo-ump specifically? Are you for it at all or are you completely against it?
Oh, that's stupid. That really is stupid. I think that's a more stupid thing in baseball. You know, baseball, people start to take fun away from baseball. Who do it? I don't know. Be honest with you. You know what I mean? I used to be come to the game and when, you know, slightly hard in second base, break a double play, slide hard in home play, break a double play. Now I see Jadier Molina tweet something about somebody got hurt in the ball. You know what I mean? I respect and we have to protect our players 100%. I do that. But we just started, you know, we take stuff away from the game, kind of weird thing. Now, the umpire, sometimes you want to see, I wish I had a robot the umpire behind that. But, you know, come on, this is a baseball game. This is not a, you know what I mean, the next three we're going to be? We're going to play in the moon. Sucks against Kansas City. We go to the moon and play a couple games out there because people come up with so many stupid things. It's kind of weird, and what are we going to get? I think human beings are not good anymore, or we too dumb to play the game. It's too many little things happening in the game right now. They got to start cut that out. And you guys were talking about yesterday, we losing fans. Just the reason why we losing fans. You know what I mean? I, because people want to see home runs. It's just, I don't know. If people come up with stupid things, stupid ideas, it's unbelievable.
We'll let you go, Ozzy. Just on the way out, Jose Abreu, during the All-Star weekend festivities, at least three times talked about how he wants to be back with the Sox and how he's going to sign. Even if they don't sign him, he's going to sign anyway, that he thinks that things are coming around and he hasn't been here for these kind of years that are coming up, and he wants to be a part of it. Would you want him here? Would you think about trading him? Is there any way with an expiring contract that you'd trade a guy and try to re-sign him? You know, is he a Sox for life in your opinion?
Not trade him, keep him. I think this kid, he showed the White Sox how good he can be with the media, with the fans, with the players, with the bat. Through everything. This game went through a lot of bad years with the White Sox. I think right now, they know what they're going to get. They know what they're going to get. They go to the free agency market. They know who they're going to sign. But with this kid, he's a White Sox. He should be a White Sox forever. But I say that about me. I say that about Harold Baines. I say that about, cause, you know, I say that about a lot of people. It never happened, but I think this kid, he earned, and he's great for the city. He's great for the White Sox. I think they should keep, that guy.
Ozzy, thanks a ton. We appreciate it, buddy.
All right, guys. Thank you.
That's Ozzy Guillen. Always a joy to talk to Ozzy.
I love him as a manager. Was fun to watch him and, you know, the excitement that he brought to the South Side and going to a couple playoff games during their successful run.
It's championship.
Just, yeah.
Jeez, Tom.
A lot of fun. You know, and it too is you kind of understand why athletes that – are shipped to Chicago to play sports here, they stay here after their career's over because you're absorbed into the communities.
Yep.
You love the communities that you live in. You become part of the city. And I see a lot more evidence with the Bears over the generations been around them, but it's neat to see these guys that stay here and be a part of the communities.
I want to talk to you about the Bears. I want to talk to you about their place in the city, but really about where their place in the NFL is right now. And it seems like we've seen this great resurgence and, you know, again, perfect timing with the 100-year celebration. That was a wonderful event.
Yeah.
And I'd hate to think of what that would have been like if they were coming off a losing season instead of a 12-win season where everybody's on board. So we'll get into a little Bears talk, and we'll do that next. It's Mully and Haw. He is Tom Thayer, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 in the Score.
This hour brought to you by Vasectomy Clinics of Chicago.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. and great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
I do feel like it's important that you give yourself as players and coaches an opportunity to just step back and reflect a little bit. And then when the time comes, you get a week before training camp. Before you know it, it's going full steam ahead.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the Score. David is away. He's on vacation, and the great Tom Thayer sitting in. And you hear Matt Nagy there, and he's talking about preparing for training camp and getting away, and then you come back, and you're bigger and better than ever, and you're rested, and you're ready to get into what's going to be a very interesting season for the Bears. They obviously, with a great year last year, but ended in bitter disappointment with the double doink at Soldier Field, losing to Philadelphia. And now here they are, a different animal. They come into a season where they're favored in the division, where they are considered an elite team in the NFL. And there are varying degrees of support for that idea. And there are it's interesting to see what Vegas thinks of them, to see what the money looks like being bet on them, the massive public support the Bears have. And, Tom, I think what's interesting is we look at them and we say, okay, they're stepping up in class now. They've got a first-place schedule instead of a last-place schedule. They're going to meet better teams. They're going to be playing some teams that were in the playoffs a year ago, and it's going to be a harder schedule. Are they a better team? And, they, you know, I think it was John Fox who said they had the worst offseason in the NFL. I think a couple of people said that. And I got to be honest.
Yeah, we're not really going to get much into that.
Well, we're not getting into that. But I didn't blame him for what he said. I didn't have a problem with anybody saying they had the worst offseason. They didn't have any draft picks. They had invested so much the year before in so many different players. And then the Khalil Mack trade, you know, robbed them of their first-round pick. They didn't have the second-round pick because they got Anthony Miller. I don't know that anybody took that into consideration. That's the only reason they managed to replace guys they lost, replace positions, I should say. But they didn't have a ton, an abundance of money or picks. That's the teams that are the worst in the league end up having really good off seasons. When you're good, you're just trying to hold on to your own.
Right. I was hosting with David when you were on vacation, yep. And that topic came up by John Fox, and I completely disagree with everything he said. You can go and read it. They've talked about it. However, I think when you talk about the Bears and their schedule they have, football is too unpredictable because you can have an injury on the best team happen, and instantly everything changes about your football team. Last year, before the start of the season, when I got introduced to Matt Nagy, the way he was coaching, his thinking, I said in front of a group of people that we are getting ready to enter the greatest era of Chicago Bears football.
Yeah.
And now you think of the successful eras that the Bears have had. They haven't had a lot of them, and they haven't had eras like the New England Patriots and what the San Francisco 49ers had at one time.
40s were pretty good.
Go back and look at the – I mean, okay, so there are, but I'm talking – when I think the perfect matchup is having an offensive-minded head coach that calls the plays along with a young, developing quarterback. Because if you have a defensive-minded head coach and you're successful on offense, the first thing that's going to happen is your offensive coordinator is going to be hired for a new job.
Right.
And now you're changing philosophical thinking, you're changing terminology, you're changing offenses, and now you're putting the quarterback through a whole new learning process, just like they did after the John Fox year, before the first year of Matt Nagy. Now you're going to have consistency in that offense. It's going to help every one of those players continue that development process. So I do think that they're in the midst of having the opportunity to be successful for a long time. And it has as much to do with the head coach as it does the players. And sometimes, you know, that's got to be the key. is the head coach, because, you know, he can be as detrimental to the success of a football team as he can be the reason that they are successful. And I think when you listen to Matt behind the podium, you listen to the way how respectfully he answers questions and he's telling you the truth, he's not making something up. I think the best is yet to come with the Bears, and I'm not worried about their schedule, because the teams on the Bears schedule have to play the Bears.
Yep.
Win the division, concentrate on that first, and then that's going to give you an opportunity to get in the playoffs. And I still have all the respect in the world for Aaron Rodgers. I think that guy is one of the greatest players in the history of the NFL. Kirk Cousins, he's still a question mark for me. He's the type of guy that can make the biggest mistake at the most crucial time when you're trying to get over the hump with the Minnesota Vikings. And Matt Patricia in the Detroit Lions hasn't done anything to impress me in terms of, you know, becoming the dominant force within the division. So I still think the Bears are on the uptick. I think they have a lot of improvement to make. I think you're going to see better things out of guys like Allen Robinson and Roquan Smith and Khalil Mack and Blyle, the defensive lineman, and you know, other players out there. So I do think the Bears are going to have an opportunity to be really successful this year.
You know, I think that it's very interesting to look at their place in the division, because there have been kind of drastic movements, changes offensively on every team in the division, right?
Right.
So the Bears are the one team in that division that has continuity on offense. That is a huge thing. They've also, you know, gone to school. I love when I hear Matt Nagy say that now we're entering 202. They started out with football 101, and they're trying to put into a system. And the idea being, and listen, I think we as humans tend to make a terrible gaffe when we look at development. We look at everything in terms of kind of a straight line forward, and that's not how life works. It's incremental. You are on one level, and then eventually you end up, oh, he's on another level. Oh, look where we're at. Now we're on a third level. It doesn't happen in a straightforward movement. It happens in kind of bunches. And we saw Mitch from 1 year to the next year take a step into a different level. It's not like he's where he needs to be or he's where he's going to be, and I don't believe that it follows this kind of straight line pattern, but I do think that we do see sort of this incremental jumps, and I think that maybe he can make another jump. I don't know that he's going to make it this year. I hope he does, because I hate to think that he's going to make them think about whether or not what they're going to do with his contract or how they're going to pay him and all that stuff. I would like it to happen sort of in a straight line forward, but I don't believe that's how anything works in life. I think it's a misnomer to try to put it into a box like that. But the fact is they traded up. They got a guy with a number two pick in the draft, first quarterback taken, and a draft where another quarterback's already been an MVP. They need him to be really good, because that's what they did to try to get him here.
Well, you know what you got to do for Mitch? And it's every player out there. Dick Stanfield, our offensive line coach, he always used to say, don't come back to the sideline and tell me I thought, because if you think, you're beat. And that's what Mitchell Trubisky has to do. He's got to be able to use the terminology within the huddle, understand how the other 10 guys fit into what he's saying, and then be able to go up there and make educated decisions at the line of scrimmage to take thinking away from him. And just that's going to contribute to his accuracy, his aiming point, the understanding the flow of his receivers. And then when you put in a guy like Allen Robinson, who's going to be there full speed from the start,
you're
going to be able to develop timing. If you can take and have long ball accuracy be one of your assets with a guy like Taylor Gabriel, you're going to be more destructive downfield, and you're going to control the safeties more. And then you talk about the contribution of the running back position with Davis, with Montgomery, with Tariq Cohen.
They may have fixed the running back spot.
Right.
You know, they had a problem at running back a year ago, and it wasn't just Jordan Howard. It was It was running the football was a problem for him a year ago. That should be a lot better.
And, you know, too, is, yeah, you talk about James Daniels moving to center. Cody Whitehair, I think, will be stronger, more explosive, bigger at the offensive guard position. You have an entire offseason with Kyle Long, who's bigger, better, and healthier than he's been probably in the last 3 years going into the training camp. And they went out and signed Bobby Massey and Charles Leno, the guys yep. at the tackle position. So, yeah, do I still have question marks? Yeah, I need to see what Adam Shaheen is going to provide at the tight end position, because he's an important part of the structure of the success of the running game. He's got to be able to bounce up off the ground when he makes some type of a catch or he makes a block, either on the line of scrimmage or downfield. And then we've talked about what that U tight end position and Trey Burton needs to provide. Right. So, you know, they have the tools there. The one thing that's going to interest me.
Well, save it. Tell us what the one thing that's okay. going to interest you. We'll do that after we hear from Kev Bo. He's got a scoreboard update.
It won't necessarily end when we leave here in the next couple of days, but it is important, I think, personally, that it's important that you know, I make sure that I'm still a good dad and a good husband and spend these. I mean, during the season, you don't get any of that, and that's your obligation.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the score. That's Matt Nagy, and God bless him. But, you know, it's not like it doesn't work in terms of you can't just load up and parent for a while. I mean, you got to – most football coaches, their family's part of it. Family becomes part of the business because you got to hang around with dad, and dad's at work, and you work 24-7, and the guy is killing himself. I just find that amusing, though.
But, you know, one thing about Matt, I remember last year during the regular season, it was the bye week, and Matt was at the Northwestern football game, and he had his kids with him in the stands.
Yes.
He's very conscientious about that, which I really
right.
admire about him.
Too.
Because I see the hours that the football staff
crazy.
Personnel from Tony Medlin to Matt Nagy. Tony Medlin is the equipment manager to Matt Nagy, the head coach. These guys put in an enormous amount of hours, and they do have a period during the off season where it's almost like a catch-up time. And I know that the father's job is never over. I mean, it's an everyday experience, and, you know, I've seen it on my own dad.
I admire him. He seems like a really good a parent and husband and all that. I was thinking to myself, I remember being in Tampa. It wasn't in Tampa. I remember when Tampa won the Super Bowl. And John Gruden came out, and he was all pumped up, and he was just shot out of a cannon. He was now a Super Bowl winning coach. And he said, he comes to the media room, he says, you know, people say I'm not spending enough time with the kids, that I'm not doing this. Well, look at this now. What are they saying now? He's holding up the trophy, and I'm like, they're saying the same thing, John.
Well, you know, John's dad, Jim Gruden, was the running backs coach when I was at Notre Dame. So I've known the Grudens
yeah.
since I've been 17 years old. And his dad played a really important role with John Gruden throughout his coaching career and was an influence on his coaching
right.
staff. And so it was neat how, you know.
There was always talk of Gruden going back there. As a matter of fact.
Right. Oh, yeah, there was a lot of conversation.
Didn't he go to high school in
yeah.
South Bend?
Yeah. yeah. And it was neat because his dad was a heck of a football coach, and I always stayed in a friendly position with him. But I always respected the way that John kept his dad, Jim, with him, and he always played a role in his, not the afterlife, but his life, the adult life of coaching.
Sure. Okay, so help me out. You were about to tell us something. You had a concern that you were going
well,
to share.
Well, you know, it's the coaching changeover in the offense of Green Bay, because we talked a lot about taking some of the influence away from Aaron Rodgers at the line of scrimmage. But now this is the offense that they use in San Francisco now. It's the McVay offense.
Right.
And it's one of the – you know, last year preparing for the San Francisco 49ers, and they went through all this quarterback – heck with Garoppolo getting hurt.
Injured, yeah.
With the quarterback from Iowa, Bobby Bethard's grandson
yes.
that got hurt. And then now they're playing a seventh rounder out of Richmond or something.
Right.
Who I had a chance to meet before the game. It was one of the most impressive on the line of scrimmage offenses that I've seen, because it's not what the quarterback thinks when he looks at the defensive personnel. It's what the quarterback is told to do according to the game plan and the way this offense is run. So I think if Aaron Rodgers follows the protocol of this offense and what he's going to learn, I think he can be as effective as he's ever been throughout his career. Just taking away a little bit of his ad lib and his changing, because I think that's one of the things that really confused the receivers at the line of scrimmage when he was ad-libbing his own offense and making subtle changes in the huddle. In the young receivers he's playing with, they weren't really attached and had an understanding of what he was trying to do according to the play that McCarthy was calling on the line of scrimmage. So I'm really interested to see how Aaron Rodgers takes the advice of a young head coach in LaFleur and uses the offense to what he's being told from the sideline.
And I'm very curious about that too, Tom. My concern would be at some level Aaron Rodgers thinks Matt LaFleur should be going and getting him a cup of coffee, that the guy should be his quarterback coach or should be – like I have a hard time.
If we had a great conversation like we always do.
If he doesn't have respect for Mike McCarthy after all the years they've been together, and I get, you know, you – it wears on you, and time will take away some of that. But what makes me believe that he is going to totally buy into Matt LaFleur? And a guy that has had the success that Rodgers has, he may just revert in-game to whatever he wants to do. And then what do you do?
You can't do that, because if you're not working within the timing of an offense, it doesn't matter who you – you could have Jerry Rice on one side and – Gronk on the other side. If you're not following according to the plan that you guys go out there and repetitiously study in preparing for an offense, and that's what we talk about Mitchell Trubisky, is being able to understand the language that he's saying in the huddle, and maybe he didn't have the greatest of understanding because it's so complicated to learn the terminology and understand what you're saying.
Right.
I think that's where Mitchell Trubisky is going to take a major step forward. With Aaron Rodgers, as great as your arm talent is, if you're not throwing to these guys on time or in the exact flow of what you're practicing, you're not going to be successful.
Isn't that one of his great skills, is his ability to, you know, buy time in the pocket, his ability to take advantage
in the McCarthy system, yes. Yeah,
but not in this system.
Not in this system.
Well, I mean, I'll be curious to see if he can sort of discipline himself then, Tom.
Well, he should try to discipline himself, because it'll be more beneficial and more helpful to the offensive line. When you're trying to buy time and you're trying to extend the pocket and you have positions on the offensive line, either because of injuries or just guys that aren't very good, now you're trying to ask them to extend their blocking time when they don't have the ability to do that.
Yeah.
Because these guys aren't going to hold Akeem Hicks out for 3 to 5 seconds. You're going to have to run this offense on time, get the ball out of your hands. And look at the accomplishments of the quarterbacks in San Francisco last year. Even though their seventh rounder, to Beathard, I think maybe was a fourth rounder, to Garoppolo that got hurt and was playing well before he got hurt, this offense works. But you also, it's got to work within the frame that you're learning it.
When you think of Mitch and the different skill set he has and what he needs to do, and I don't know if this is accurate or not, but I was talking to a guy about the idea that that Mitch is inaccurate and that you can't teach accuracy. Well, some of his inaccuracy came from having, you know, maybe rushing something, or came from timing. That if you can slow him down or speed him up, whatever the proper terminology would be, so that he is making throws in time, on time, his feet are set properly, that his accuracy would improve dramatically. Because we've seen a lot of overthrown passes. We've seen a lot of guys that he just flat out missed. And it, as the game speeds up for him over the course of a couple of years, it should start slowing down, which would then allow him to improve his mechanics and maybe be more accurate.
I think knowledge is going to improve his accuracy, because when you look at some of those longer passes of Taylor Gabriel, or maybe missed receivers or overthrown balls, it's just because you're kind of reacting to the play. You're not really acting out the play. And so the more repetitiously you do these plays in the practice field, you're going to be able to just throw to the spot and the receiver's going to be there.
Yeah.
You know, for example, a couple years ago, the New England Patriots were playing the Bears in New England, and New England scored 50 points. If you go back, Tom Brady threw one slant route to Brandon LaFell, I think 11 completions. And I really believe that if Tom Brady would go blindfolded and run that play in practice, I really think because of the consistency of the whereabouts of the receiver, he could put it within a fingertips touch of the receiver without seeing it. It's just, again, I keep referring to the word repetitiously,
sure,
because everything
sure
in offensive football is repetitiously learned. And when I was watching that one play, that one route, the success of it, no matter what defense they were playing, it was just a completion every single time. So I do think that that's one thing that Mitch is going to be able to do. The better he learns the offense, the more it'll improve his accuracies.
And I think with Matt Nagy, I think a lot of the success that Mitch had was schemed success. I think that, you know, as much as we sit here and talk about he made a big jump from year one to year two, you want to talk about a quarterback friendly system, and a guy that knows how to get the most out of somebody. You know, he's Mitch making a Pro Bowl, albeit as a fill-in guy. I don't know
right
if that counts. That had more to do with Matt Nagy than it did with Mitch, maybe.
I agree. I think, like I said, it's the perfect combination. You know, one of the things that I always admired about Coach Nagy is the success that he had in an arena league. Because if you're going to think that's anything, any position that's relatable from the arena league to the NFL, it's the quarterback position and the modern day timing of the offense. Because I know it's a smaller field and you got less players, but you're getting the ball out of your hands so quickly in the arena league offense, I do think that transitions to the NFL. And so I think Matt's experience of being an arena league quarterback can help Mitchell Trubisky develop at an NFL
yeah
level.
Yeah.
But I think that Mitch has got a tremendous upside, and I think the effort that he puts in to the work that you need to put in and the time that he dedicates to his craft, that's what you want to see out of your highest paid employee. And if Mitch has success, he is going to be the Bears' highest paid employee.
Well, it's just a fact of life that the quarterback touches the ball on every offensive possession and has to be able to see things and understand things and has to put in all the time and all the rest of it. And I think, you know, I don't doubt that Mitch can do all those things, but the question isn't whether doing all that. The question is, you know, Andy Dalton. You know, you can be a successful NFL quarterback and not be good enough
to
win.
Mitch, you have to keep Mitch's feet a threat. And that's always going to help you decide how they're going to have to rush you. The outside guys are going to have to rush wider. It's going to give your offensive tackles more time. They're always going to have to be. Andy Dalton has never had the threat with his feet.
That's true.
That Mitchell Trubisky has the opportunity to have.
All right. We're going to take a moment here. We'll be back. We're going to bring in Jed Hoyer to the conversation. We will talk to Jed about what to expect in the second half of the season. Have the Cubs made a decision on whether they're going to make moves? Are they going to sit pat? Will the next week or two tell the entire story? It's Mully and Haw. He is Tom Thayer, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.